It is the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. The Terry contract is official. It is on to New York for Washington. Joining us to help preview this season for the Commanders and a little bit of college football. We got some college football starting today. Booger McFarland, ESPN, with us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in. Boog, first and foremost, man, appreciate you jumping on and making some time for us. Your reaction on Monday when the Terry McLaurin contract was official and he was staying in Washington?
Well, I think it was just like everybody else, man. It's kind of about time. I think that with all the good juju that's been going on with Washington since the new ownership and, you know, Dan Snyder's out of the way and Jaden Daniels had a tremendous season. Everything's been positive. And this is kind of the one negative little something that popped up. And I think everybody kind of figured it would be taken care of. But the longer it drug out, you didn't know. And I get it. I understand both sides, receiver, 30 years old, blah, blah, blah. But I think that's where you have to use, kind of get away from those formulas and use some human nature, you know, and just say, okay, look at what Terry has kind of meant to this franchise. Look at what he's done. Look at what he meant to Jaden Daniels. Look at his leadership qualities. And, like, when you add all those things in, I think he got what he deserved. And, you know, now he's got to go out and produce to that level, which I don't have any doubt that he will. But long answer, long way of saying, man, I think everybody around the league is happy about this deal. And I think it's been received very well.
Do you believe that Terry is a top 10 receiver in this league?
I think the numbers say it. I think when you look at how he plays, yeah, absolutely. Like, he may not be one to four, but you could probably, there's no doubt you're going to put him somewhere between 4 and 10, depending on your flavor, what you like. No doubt about it.
So with that said, then you get Terry obviously coming to play with Jaden. They bring in Debo Samuel. What do you think this offense can look like after a successful year last year with these two guys?
Well, that's going to depend on how they run the football. Like, if you just understand what Dan Quinn wants to do and how they want to play, we make a lot about Jaden Daniels, and rightfully so. But he can't do it all. Like, right. I don't think you want to get into a situation where this quarterback is throwing it 35 times and then running it 20. So where do you find the touches to go elsewhere? I understand everybody likes the young backs that you guys got up there. You trade away Brian Robinson because maybe he doesn't fit the scheme. He's more of a pounder than he is kind of a slasher, which is what this offense needs. I think Debo coming over is going to be able to take some touches. He's going to be an extension of the run game, you know, jet sweeps, quick screens. You just want to get the ball in Debo's hands in the perimeter in space. He can make people miss. He's a tough tackle. Ultimately, this team, I think, though, is going to come down to how they play defense. Who's going to rush the passer? Can you stop the run consistently? And when you get a lead, again, can you go get the quarterback? I think health is going to be very paramount on this team because you can't get Terry hurt. You know, you can't get, you know, some of your top guys on the defensive side of the football hurt because I don't think the depth is there just yet. But overall, I think if health was standing, I think people expect the team to be better. Now, that doesn't mean that the record is going to be better,
right,
but I do think people expect the team to be better.
Booger McFarland, ESPN, with us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980. So you mentioned the defense needing to be better. The run defense was obviously a huge, huge Achilles heel for this team last year. How easy is it to go from a bad run defense one year to a good run defense the next year?
It's all mindset, man. That's what it is. Once you understand, playing run defense is simple math. Okay, if they have 7 guys to block, we need 8 guys in the run fit. 7 to take on the blockers, 1 to make the tackle. Just, you know, if we just keep it on the surface. The scheme is good. Dan is a great defensive coach. I know the scheme is good. I know everything like that. But now it comes down to mindset, man. Like, football, I know we've made football soft with all these new rules and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, man, you got to hit people in the mouth. You got to be willing to be physical. And I think understanding what DQ is all about, I think now it comes down to this system. How do you play it? And do you have guys that are tough enough? And I have no doubt, based on what we saw last year, now you go into the offseason, you figure it out, you change personnel a little bit, I think they're going to be better.
How good do you think a guy like Javon Kinlaw can be, being that guy that's big, that's tough, and will hit you in the mouth?
He's big. He's athletic. I still don't think he's been unlocked yet. You know, coming out of South Carolina, man, like, he is a man child. Sometimes you need a new system. Sometimes you need somebody in the ear to just to kind of bring the best out of you, man. I've been traded. I've left one team and went to another. I do think that can help, a different atmosphere. I think the positive momentum, man, and this is the thing that beyond everything else, I think Washington has going for it. I think inside that locker room, Dan is one of the best culture builders in football. And what does that mean? Because we throw that around often. What is culture? Culture is like, what's the mood, the vibe when you walk in the locker room, when the coaches are not around? Is everybody talking ball? Are we feeling ball? Are the guys getting along? Do we understand what we're trying to do? Coaches don't have to do a whole lot. They just have to tell us what to do and we get it done. Like, there is a togetherness and brotherhood, and I think they have that in Washington, and I think that's the best thing. So last year gave them a little taste of what it could be. I do think some of the personnel moves that they've made are going to help them. But all that being said, you know, when toe meets leather, man, in about 9 days, yeah. I think Washington is going to score plenty of points. It's going to come down to me, when quarterback drops back on the opposing team, can you go get them? You got to be able to affect the other quarterback to win in this league. And because at some point, it's going to turn into a passing game. It's a passing league. And I think their ability to affect the opposing quarterback, whether that's sacks or pressure, will ultimately dictate the record. Jaden Daniels will be outstanding. I think he'll be great. His poise, his patience, his maturity, I've seen it since LSU. It hasn't changed. It's only gotten better. I have no doubt it's going to be better this year. But he can't score and then stop people. So I think the defense is going to be the biggest factor in determining where this team goes. Because a lot of people are thinking Super Bowl. Right. I'm not there yet until I see where this defense is at.
Bobby Wagner is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. When you watch him, what jumps out on the screen?
You know, we often talk about quarterbacks and how they see the field and how those guys understand the game and how the game slows down. You can say the same for a middle linebacker. Like, he is at middle linebacker what some of the great quarterbacks have been. Maybe not in the standpoint of scoring touchdowns and all that, but when you think about how Peyton Manning quarterbacked our offense in Indianapolis, when you think about what Tom Brady did in New England orchestrating things, like, that's what Bobby does. And we don't give him the credit. That's our fault, because defense is kind of second fiddle in our mind. Everybody wants to score points. But he is as good as there have ever been at the middle linebacker position. He is he's smart. He's athletic. What he's lost maybe as far as the athletic ability, he makes up for an understanding. He's been durable. He's played a long time. And I think the thing when I talked about the culture earlier, he's a culture builder. Like, he understands what culture is about. He understands what winning is about. He's won a Super Bowl before. Like, he's been on great defenses. He knows what it looks like. And when you have a young team, and by and large, everybody in the NFL has a young team because the league is younger, mm-hmm. you need that veteran or two on your team. And I'm glad DQ has Bobby, because it's a lot of young guys on that team, a lot of guys 22 to 26 on that team, and they think they know it all, and I promise you they don't. You need a veteran that's 32, 33, 34 that's been in the wars that can tell the 25-year-old, hey, guy, I know you think you're made it, but we ain't done nothing yet. And that makes far more of an impact coming from Bobby than it would coming from any coach on the staff.
Talking with Booger McFarland, ESPN. Boog, just a few more for you here as we get set for week one and a little bit of college football as well I want your take on. But you mentioned guys like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and some of their competitiveness and kind of the way they handle things at the line of scrimmage. Do you see little inklings of those sorts of things in Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, well, it's early, man. Like his poise, like the one thing people continue to talk about him, like, he doesn't get flustered. Like, that's what the great ones have. Like, if you look at Cam Ward this year, the one thing we said when we were at the draft and myself and Mel and Lewis were talking, like, his poise, he doesn't get sped up. And that's the hardest thing for a young quarterback to kind of grasp on, is just to be patient. And Jaden has that. He had it at LSU, and I think you can attribute that to all the football he's played. He's played a ton of ball, and he's made a ton of starts. He's seen a lot. Like, he's been in Death Valley when Alabama came in there. Like, he's beaten them. Like, he's been in the most hostile environments that football has to offer, and he hasn't blinked. And I think that's prepared him to where he is now. Like, there's no stadium he's going to walk in that's going to be like it was in Baton Rouge on a Saturday night when Alabama was on the other side. I'm sorry, NFL, there's nothing. There's no atmosphere that's going to be like that because the college game is just a little bit different from the crowd standpoint. NFL is more of a corporate crowd, unless you're in Green Bay or Kansas City. But to my point, he has been in environments that are way hotter than what he sees every Sunday. And so there's no doubt his poise is off the charts, and I think you're going to continue to see that and see how patient he is and just see how, you know, we often say the game slows down. What does that mean? That means that the quarterback sees things so much faster. Obviously, the game doesn't slow down. He just sees things faster because his mind is processing it faster. And then you can attribute that to some of the things or some of the players that you mentioned, because that's how Manning was. That's how Brady was. And those guys had to do it because they were slower than molasses. He doesn't have to do it because he's a great athlete. So now you got the best of both worlds.
I mean, Burrow has that same thing. Is it something in the water at LSU that has these guys ready to play and kind of process at an NFL level as soon as they jump into the league?
I just think they've played a lot of football, man. Burrow transferred from Ohio State. Jaden from Arizona State. They played a lot of football. Like, they've been around. They've seen a lot. Experience is the best teacher in life, guys. I don't know if you've heard that before, but it is. You can go in any classroom in America. The only thing that's really going to help you with this thing called life and football is to practice and to experience it and to keep living it. And both of those guys that you mentioned have done that.
A few college football questions here for you, Boog. I texted Jacob Hester about this when I saw this, but I'd like to get your take. How big of a deal is it that Garrett Nussmeier is wearing 18?
Well, it's a huge deal personally for him because, you know, 18 is a leadership award. It's a situation or it's an achievement that a lot of people want. It just lets you know how your peers on that team feel about you, how the coaching staff feels about you. And it's one of those things that you would be put in a select group forever. And so it's a huge deal when the guy that touches the ball every single play is viewed as the leader of the team.
Who do you like this weekend between Clemson and LSU?
Of course, you know who I like. That's not even a question. I think the game comes down to LSU's ability to play defense at a high level, which we haven't always done. And then on the other side of the football, how does the LSU offensive line deal with maybe the best defensive line in America? I think those two factors determine the game.
So I was informed of this. I'll get you out of here on this, Boog. I was informed of this prior to having you on, that you have to now eat 12 donuts because of a bet that you made with Big Cat at Barstool. Do you have a game plan for how you're going to eat 12 donuts in one sitting? Does it have to be a certain amount of donuts? Can you fill us in on any details there?
Well, it just depends. If they're Krispy Kreme donuts, that's easy. I could eat 2 dozen. That's not a problem. It just depends on what kind of donuts they are. I'm not a big topping. I don't need Boston cream fill. I don't need a bunch. I just need plain glazed donuts. Plain glazed donuts is not going to be an issue at all.
Well, Boog, appreciate the time, my friend. Hope to do this again soon.
All good, man. Anytime.
That is Booger McFarland at ESPN. Some really good stuff in there from Boog, specifically about the run defense. And, you know, Max, in listening to Adam Peters speak yesterday, he made a comment about how this roster on paper is better than it was in 2024. And by and large, every coach, every general manager, except for maybe the guys that run the New Orleans Saints this year, they're all going to tell you, hey, we're a little bit better than we were on paper last year in some capacity. But for Washington, I do feel like it's different because you now are competing for a championship. And it's the first time in a long time where you have a good opportunity to not just get to the playoffs, but make a deep run for a championship. And that's largely based because of Jaden Daniels. But the run defense was a massive, massive issue for this team last year. And how they can improve that run defense, I don't get worried a lot about stuff in the preseason, but it was very apparent that in the preseason, based off of what they were doing, and they didn't play a lot of their number ones, but they did play guys that are going to get, you know, significant snaps. Johnny Newton's a good example of this. You know, Javon Kinlaw played a little bit. Duran. You saw some guys that are going to get significant snaps, and there still was an issue when it came to stopping the run. I'm really hoping that Javon Kinlaw, whatever Adam Peters sees in him, on the field, on the grass has become like the motto for this team this offseason. Cliff Kingsbury must say that in the building all of the time because everybody says on the grass. Whatever Adam Peters is thinking that he's going to get from Javon Kinlaw on the grass, it needs to happen. This team cannot get to the place where we all want them to get to if their run defense is still piss poor. Now, Javon Kinlaw has had a really good training camp. If you have seen him, if you've been out there at training camp, I'm sure you have seen him. I've gotten the opportunity to stand on the field when Javon Kinlaw is on the field and coming off the field. He is massive. He's probably the largest human being or one of the largest human beings that I've ever seen in person. He's literally like Goliath when he's walking on the field. But you need to play well during the actual games. No one has won a game in the history of the NFL just by looking the part. You got to actually get out there and bust somebody's ass. As Booger McFarland said, hit somebody in the mouth. It is very much mental when it comes to the defensive line and stopping the run. And I really hope that this offseason they have honed in on the mental element of it. So when we get the ones out there for real in games that matter, when they're actually running real defense and when they're going up against teams that are running some sort of real offense, a lot of the stuff that we saw in the preseason, whether it was New England, Cincinnati, or Baltimore towards the end, it was pretty basic run concepts. You know, no one is showcasing too much of their hand in the preseason, you know, maybe in the joint practices or joint practice singular, because they did not get one with Baltimore. Maybe in the joint practice with New England, you saw a little bit more complexities that will get you ready to go up against an actual running attack. But defensively, you have to stop the run. You're going to play too many good running backs this year. And theoretically, if you get to the postseason, or theoretically, when you get to the postseason, you're going to see a bunch of teams with really good running backs. And if you make the offenses and the quarterback's life easier because they can run the football on you, you're going to be put in a tough spot. We saw that last year. I mean, Saquon Barkley, NFC Championship game, first carry, 60-yard touchdown. And you're just like, this is going to suck. This is not going to be fun for the rest of it. Washington had its opportunity, certainly, but this is not going to be fun for the rest of the way if they cannot stop Saquon Barkley. And then Philadelphia ended up putting 55 points up. Part of that is because Washington turned the ball over like crazy, and they just were giving them short field after short field after short field, which the only thing worse than a bad run defense is a bad run defense on a short field. And that's kind of what the NFC Championship game ended up looking like. But this is where I'm going to throw the question out to you. 301-230-0980. Adam Peters says that this team is better on paper in 2025 than 2024. Have they closed the gap with Philadelphia? We now see the 53-man roster. We know who's going to be a part of this team. Has Washington closed the gap with Philadelphia? 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. We take your phone calls next. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dende sitting in for Kevin on the Team 980.